Today is the 28th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. We stepped into a brand new week yesterday, and so here we go. We gotta live it now. And what a gift that we can. And one of the ways that we find out how to do that is to come around the global campfire every day and orient ourselves to God through the scriptures. And so we're in the right place and we're here at the right time. And so let's do the right thing and take the next step forward. Our next step leads us back to the territory that we've been moving through, which is the book of Job. And we will arrive at the conclusion of Job not too many days hence, but we're not there yet. Job and his friends are duking it out about Job's innocence. And we pick up the story today with Job chapter 28, 29, and 30. There is a place where silver is mined, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the ground, and rocks are melted for their copper. Humans bring an end to darkness there and search to the limit of the gloomy, pitch-black rock. They open up a mine shaft far from civilization where no one has set foot. In this shaft, men dangle and swing back and forth. Above the ground, food grows, but beneath it, the food decays as if it were burned by fire. At places, stones are sapphire. Its dust contains gold. No bird of prey knows the way to it. No hawk's eye has ever seen it. No proud beast has ever walked on it. No ferocious lion has ever passed over it. Humans exert their power on the flinty rocks and overturn mountains at their base. They cut out mine shafts in the rocks. Their eyes see every precious thing. They explore the sources of rivers so that they bring hidden treasures to light. Where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding live? No mortal knows where it is. It cannot be found in this world of the living. The deep ocean says, "It isn't in me." The sea says, "It isn't with me." You cannot obtain it with solid gold or buy it for any amount of silver. It can't be bought with the gold from Ophir or with precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor glass can equal its value, nor can gold ornaments, jewels, or crystal be exchanged for it. Wisdom is more valuable than gems. Topaz from Ethiopia cannot equal its value. It cannot be bought for any amount of pure gold. Where does wisdom come from? Where does understanding live? It is hidden from the eyes of every living being. Hidden even from the birds in the air. Decay and death say, "We've heard a rumor about it." God understands the way to it. He knows where it lives because he can see to the ends of the earth and observe everything under heaven. When he gave the wind its force and measured the water in the sea, when he made rules for the rain and set paths for the thunderstorms, then he saw it and announced it. He confirmed it and examined it. So he told humans, "The fear of the Lord is wisdom. To stay away from evil is understanding." Job continued his poems and said, "If only my life could be like it used to be, in the days when God watched over me, when he made his lamp shine on my head, when I walked through the dark in his light. If only I were in the prime of my life again, when God was an advisor in my tent, when the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me. My steps were bathed in buttermilk and the rocks poured streams of olive oil on me. When I went through the city gate and took my seat in the town square, young men saw me and kept out of sight. Old men stood up straight out of respect for me. princes held back their words and put their hands over their mouths. The voices of nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roofs of their mouths. Any ears that heard me blessed me. Any eyes that saw me spoke well of me, because I rescued the poor who called for help, and the orphans who had no one to help them. I received a blessing from the dying. I made the widow's heart sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it was my clothing. I practiced justice, and it was my robe and my turban. I was eyes for the blind person. I was feet for the lame person. I was father to the needy. I carefully investigated cases brought by strangers. I broke the teeth of the wicked person and made him drop the prey out of his mouth. I thought, I may die in my own house, but I will make my days as numerous as the sand. My roots will grow toward the water, and dew will lie on my branches all night. My power will be fresh every day, and the bow in my hand will remain new. People listened to me eagerly, quietly waiting for my advice. After I had spoken, they wouldn't speak again. After all, my words fell gently on them. They were as eager to hear me as they were for rain. They opened their mouths wide as if waiting for a spring shower. When I smiled at them, they could hardly believe it. But the expression on my face did not change. I decided how they should live. I sat as their leader. I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. But now, those who are younger than I am laugh at me. I didn't think their fathers were fit to sit with the dogs of my flock. Of what use to me was the strength of their hands? Their strength is gone, shriveled up from need and hunger. They gnaw at the dry and barren ground during the night. They pick saltwort from the underbrush, and the roots of the broom plant are their food. They are driven from the community. People shout at them in the same way they shout at thieves. They have to live in dry riverbeds, in holes in the ground and among rocks. They howl in bushes and huddle together under thorn bushes. Godless fools and worthless people are forced out of the land with whips. And now they make fun of me with songs. I have become a joke to them. Since they consider me disgusting, they keep their distance from me and don't hesitate to spit in my face. Because God has untied my cord and has made me suffer, they are no longer restrained in my presence. They have attacked me on my right side like a mob. They trip my feet and then prepare ways to destroy me. Yes, they remove all traces of my path in order to destroy me. No one is there to help me against them. They come through a wide hole in the wall. They crawl through the ruins. Terrors are directed toward me. They blow away my dignity like the wind. My prosperity vanishes like a cloud. Now my life is pouring out of me. Days of suffering seize me. At night, God pierces my bones. My body doesn't rest. With great strength, he grabs my clothes. He seizes me by the collar of my robe. He throws me into the dirt so that I become like dust and ashes. I call to you for help, but you don't answer me. I stand up, but you just look at me. You have begun to treat me cruelly. With your mighty hand, you assault me. You pick me up and let the wind carry me away. You toss me around with the storm. I know you will lead me to death, to the dwelling place appointed for all living beings. But God doesn't stretch out his hand against one who is ruined when that person calls for help in his disaster. Didn't I cry for the person whose days were difficult? Didn't my soul grieve for the poor? When I waited for good, evil came. When I looked for light, darkness came. My insides are churning and won't calm down. Days of misery are ahead of me. I walk in the dark without the sun. I stand up in public and call for help. I'm a brother to jackals and a companion of ostriches. My skin turns dark and peels. My body burns with fever. So my lyre is used for mourning and my flutes for loud weeping. Second Corinthians 2:12-17. When I went to the city of Troas, the Lord gave me an opportunity to spread the good news about Christ, but I didn't have any peace of mind because I couldn't find Titus, our brother, there. So I said goodbye to the people in Troas and went to the province of Macedonia. But I thank God, who always leads us in victory because of Christ. Wherever we go, God uses us to make clear what it means to know Christ. It's like a fragrance that fills the air. To God, we are the aroma of Christ among those who are saved and among those who are dying. To some people, we are a deadly fragrance, while to others, we are a life-giving fragrance. Who is qualified to tell about Christ? At least we don't go around selling an impure word of God like many others. The opposite is true. As Christ's spokesman and in God's presence, we speak the pure message that comes from God. Psalm 42, Book 2, for the choir director, a maskil by Korah's descendants. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When may I come to see God's face? My tears are my food day and night. People ask me all day long, "Where is your God?" I will remember these things as I pour out my soul, how I used to walk with the crowd and lead in a procession to God's house. I sang songs of joy and thanksgiving while crowds of people celebrated a festival. Why are you discouraged, my soul? Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God, because I will still praise Him. He is my Savior and my God. My soul is discouraged. That is why I will remember you in the land of Jordan, on the peaks of Hermon, on Mount Mizar. One deep sea calls to another at the roar of your waterspouts. All the whitecaps on your waves have swept over me. The Lord commands His mercy during the day, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will ask God, my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk around in mourning while the enemy oppresses me? With a shattering blow to my bones, my enemies taunt me. They ask me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you discouraged, my soul? Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God, because I will still praise Him. He is my Savior and my God." Proverbs 22:7. A rich person rules poor people, and a borrower is a slave to a lender. Okay, so if I walk into my house and my wife is making dinner and I don't know she's making dinner and I walk into the house, I am greeted by the scent of dinner that is being made, and that immediately evokes in me whatever it smells like, because whatever she makes is delicious. It makes me think about the food that she's preparing, and then that's attached to so many other meals throughout all of my life. Or I have Like, I have an essential oil diffuser here in the studio. I keep my coffee to my left and my essential oil diffuser to my right. And on many days, I'll pour water into that, drop some essential oils into that, and flip it on. And then I'll forget about it and just kind of get moving into the day, interacting. And at some point, I will have left the room and have returned and will be greeted by this pleasing, calming aroma. Even to the point that I've looked for biblical aromas for my diffuser. I've even looked like, wow, someday we should figure this out. We should bring this into the community. I digress. I leave the room. I come back into the room. I encounter the aroma, and the atmosphere is changed in some kind of subtle way. And this isn't like hocus pocus or anything. Like, there's science behind all of this. Like, we know that a certain scent at a certain time can take us right back to a certain moment, as if, like, we're right back there. So if it's, you know, walking into a house and there's cookies baking and that reminds you of grandma and you're back there and you're four again, aroma can, like, change the atmosphere. Before you start thinking, well, wow, thanks for that life hack. thanks for the tip. What does that got to do with the Bible? It just so happens that that's exactly what Paul's talking about today from the Bible. And so I quote the Apostle Paul. I thank God, who always leads us in victory because of Christ. Wherever we go, God uses us to make clear what it means to know Christ. It's like a fragrance that fills the air. To God, we are the aroma of Christ among those who are saved and among those who are dying. To some people, we are a deadly fragrance, while to others, we are a life-giving fragrance. Have you ever thought about your life in those terms before, that you are giving off a fragrance, an aura, an aroma wherever you go, and people are picking up on it as we interact with each other in the same ways that you pick up on things as you interact with people? I mean, think about it for a second. If they could have a smell, an aroma, what would your words smell like? What atmosphere-altering fragrance do your actions give off? Every week we step into a new week and we call it shiny and sparkly and we say it's a reset and we can step into it and we get to live this right. And this is what we're talking about. Do our thoughts, do our words, do our deeds emit the aroma of Jesus? Do we bring a subtle shift in the atmosphere because the presence of Christ is with us and in us? Or do we get out of bed and basically spray on the repellent to keep everybody away? Let's give it some thought today. Let's watch ourselves today. Let's think in these terms today as an exercise, as a practice. Everything I do, everything that I say, is creating the atmosphere that I live in. Do I bring the aroma of Christ? Does the atmosphere get altered because of Jesus? Or is this just another day to go out into humanity and try to survive? You know, maybe that smile that you give to that stranger is a kiss from Jesus because they haven't had a good word spoken to them in a week. We never know. But what we are picking up from the Apostle Paul is our lives smell like something. Maybe they should smell like shalom. Maybe they should smell like heaven. Let's give it some thought today. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. This exercise allows us to look at our lives framed in a different way which can bring all kinds of insight. And so, Holy Spirit, come and bring insight into our lives. What aroma are we putting into the world? Is it the aroma of Christ? May it be so, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that is where you can find out what's happening. The Daily Audio Bible app does that and a lot more, and that's free, and you can download it from the app store that works with your device, so check that out. Check out the different sections. Check out the community section. This is where you can get connected on social media, but also this is where the prayer wall lives. And the prayer wall is just us, just ours, just here. The Global Campfire community, it's a place where we can always go, where we can always pray, where we can always ask for prayer. So check that out. It is good to know that there is a place when the bottom falls out, or when you're on a mountaintop experience and you want to share and pray for others. The prayer wall is there in the community section, so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you so humbly. We couldn't be here if we weren't here together. And so if what we're doing, bringing the spoken word of God read fresh each day and offered freely to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around that so that we show up for each other each day, if that matters, that is life-giving. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Dab family. This is Paige in Virginia. Just wanted to ask for all the intercessor prayer warriors just to keep me and my family in your prayers. We've been going through some hardships family-wise, and I now have sole custody of both of my kids, a 15-year-old boy and a 2-year-old boy, and I don't really get much help with the baby. His dad is an alcoholic, and you know, my 15-year-old is kind of struggling from the lack of attention, where he's kind of starting to do some things that are not right, and he knows that are not right, and I feel like it's for attention seeking. But I'm trying my best, and I'm trying to keep my eyes and focus on Jesus. I realized that a lot of times when everything's been going on, I've, you know, tried to take matters in my own hands and try to resolve the issue on my own. But I have to keep reminding myself that I just need to lay it at the foot of the cross and trust God, because I know that He's got plans for me. And if God has these plans for me, He's going to bring me up out of this and in a higher plateau. And I know that the reason why I'm going through all of this is because Satan doesn't want those plans to happen. So just pray for me that I need strength, and that God reminds me to use my spiritual eyes, my spiritual ears, and keep my heart tuned to Him and the Holy Spirit.
This message is for Agent of Grace. This is August the 23rd, and I'm Carolyn in North Carolina, just offering you an encouraging word. You said you feel broken and hurt, and that your husband is dealing with alcoholism, and it's hurting the whole family. And I give you this word of encouragement. You are worthy. You are not broken. You are not hurt. Ephesians 6:12, just feast on it, because The word tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And alcoholism is an evil, evil spirit that the evil one uses. And this is an opportunity for you, my sister, to gird up yourself and your family in the word. Stay in prayer. Stay encouraged. This is a time for you to build up your children, to draw closer to the Father. And he will deliver you. He will deliver your husband. He will deliver you. He will deliver your children. Stay prayerful, my sister. Fight this battle with the word. Fight this battle in the spirit. You are worthy. No matter what your husband says, I have gone through this. I have lived through a husband that called me everything but a child of God. You are a child of God, sweetheart. And just be joyful in that. Do not be sad. This is an evil attack. This is an attack from the evil one. And you just gird yourself up. You are powerful, powerful, powerful. Sister, put on that armor. Fight that battle. You warrior princess. Hallelujah.
Hi, family. This is Cindy from Kansas, and I'm calling in to pray for Agent of Grace. I don't usually call in, but I heard your message this morning, and I can 100% empathize with what you're going through. My husband struggles with alcoholism as well, and it has created rifts that I don't know can be crossed. It makes him do horrible things and say horrible things, and you know, and then it just causes division between us, especially when I'm trying really hard to forgive him, and he's kind of just, it feels like taking that forgiveness for granted, even though I know there's more going on than the simple behavior, but it doesn't make it easier. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you're going through this, that your children are going through this. I'm so sorry that he makes you feel small. I just want you to know that you're not alone in this. There is a community behind you, and there are angels around you. Lord, I pray that you please be with this agent of grace, and please just lift her up, God. Please help her to know what the right thing to do is. Please, in the moments when she feels the most alone, let her feel your arms around her. Let her feel encouraged and lifted up. Let her laugh to feel joy again. Let her find that larger than life feeling that you can bring. Help her to notice the small things and the happy things, to take one step after another, day after day, just like we do here. Please just let her know what's right. And more than anything, let her know that she is loved, that she's not alone. Let her feel your words and your arms and your encouragement, and help her to know that things are always in motion. In your name we pray, amen.
Hi, DAB family. I want to say thank you for all the prayers that you faithfully lift up on behalf of each other. My name is Betty. I've called before, and I'm calling again for my son, Nathan. My son has been battling different forms of mental illness since 2019. This last bout that he is in has lasted 9 months of trying to take care of himself without medical care or without medication. And he's pretty much retreating further and further. Tonight, his sisters and I and a close friend are going to try to have a meeting with him to get him to accept help, to get him back to living again. So I just wanted to ask my DAB family to be praying with us for not just for my son Nathan, but for all of us who deal with children or siblings of someone who's fighting mental.